You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
According to Hebrews 11:10, for he, that is Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
All right, let's dig into this. I am excited to talk to you about the city. In early 1991, my wife and I, along with our firstborn son, who was about two at the time, we loaded up our possessions into a U-Haul truck, and with my father-in-law's help, we left Minot, North Dakota, and we moved in a blizzard to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The population of Sioux Falls then was hovering right around about 100,000 to 103,000 people. The last statistics in 2013 had us at 165,000 people, almost 166,000 people. So this city has, in that amount of time, grown dramatically, not just in the sense of people or bodies, but in many, many different ways. This is a different city than what we came to. It's a very different city culturally. It's a very different city economically. It's a very different city spiritually. There's a lot of different subcultures here that were not present when we first came here. But the reality is, for Barb and I, is that we, at the time, we saw a city, and we felt a call to a city. And we knew in our hearts that Sioux Falls was indeed that city that we were called to. And so we had a resolute heart and mind to come. And we came to plant a church, to start a church here, which is this particular church. We've been pastoring this church since we came from Minot. I say that to just lay the framework for you. I want you to understand today that I wasn't called to Life Church. Life Church wasn't even in existence. It wasn't even in my mind when the call came. I had no idea that I would be a church planter. If someone had said I would have said, no, that's probably not what's going to happen. I'd heard horror stories about church planters. But what I did know was through some divine work of God in my heart, I knew that I was called to this city. And I didn't honestly even know what that would look like exactly. And as we began to seek God in prayer, it began to unfold that we would come and we would plant a church here. And this church has, over that period of time, grown and changed and transformed in a variety of different ways as well, to bring us to what we have today, which I think is a wonderful dynamic. God is at work. He is moving in Life Church. Life Church is growing. Life Church is changing. There's a lot of transformational kinds of things that are going on in the heart of Life Church. Some of them we are all just really excited about and dancing around, and others we're just scared to death of and don't want to touch. But they're all good things that God is doing. What I want you to understand today is that I think God isn't calling us to Life Church and to make Life Church great, although he is seemingly doing some of that kind of stuff among us. But the call of God is for us to embrace our city and make God great in our city. And we have to be able to look at what that looks like. You know, in that context, what does God have for us? What is God asking of us? And so this morning, I want to get you on board, so to speak, of seeing Sioux Falls as the called to place. All right? The interesting thing about all of you is a lot of you live in Sioux Falls, but a lot of you don't. A lot of you are outliers. And that sounds like an awful term, doesn't it? But it's not. It's just you lie outside of the parameters of the city. Some of you live in other communities, smaller communities around Sioux Falls, and you come in here to Life Church to do life with us on Sundays and at other times, and you're part of small groups and life groups and those kinds of things, which is just really great. But how do we look at this city that God has set us down in and positioned us here, particularly in this neighborhood, and especially as we are growing and as we are moving out. So I want us to be able to see that just like Sioux Falls has changed, just like Life Church has changed, change is constant, and it's going to continue to happen. But how do we embrace it, and how do we live it out as it pertains to our city, to our community? And what does our position need to be? What is our heart stance towards our city? And I think that is one of the things that we have to look at here, is what is our heart towards the city of Sioux Falls? And then how does that translate into what we do, the decisions that we make, and the things that we do in ministry? How is that affected? You know, there's a lot of great things about this city, and there are many, many things that have grown in the city, not just population, but otherwise. It's been voted as one of the best little cities or small cities to live in on a couple of different occasions. So there's a lot of great things about the city of Sioux Falls. And yet at the same time, there was a very dismal shift in 2011 when the crime rate for the city of Sioux Falls and the average U.S. city equaled out with each other. And since that time, the crime rate for the city of Sioux Falls has grown beyond what the national average is for cities across the United States. And so now we have moved, and it's turned around, and now we have a higher crime rate than we used to have. We used to be a much safer city than we are now, but we're a much larger city now, and we have lots of different dynamics in our city that we didn't have 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And what am I saying? I'm simply saying that there is a lot that is good about this city, and there are some things that are not so good about this city. And how are we going to approach that? How are we going to look at that and decide what Life Church is going to be within our city? Because I think the key is not looking at the city and making a decision about how I feel about it, but it is looking at the Bible and understanding what God thinks about cities, and then responding according to the Bible, responding according to what God would say about a community or about a city. And I think that the Bible teaches us about cities, and I think that some of the things that the Bible says are far more optimistic, and yet some things are far more pessimistic maybe than anything that you and I will read about our particular city of Sioux Falls. But God is saying things throughout the Scriptures, and I think and I hope that we can get a very hopeful and very realistic sense about what the purpose of God is for Life Church, as we are people who will either be defenders or detractors of what God is doing in our city. And heaven forbid that we would detract from what God is trying to do, but rather we would get in there and actually defend the work of God by being a part of it, by doing what it is that God is calling us to do. And I think that we go back then and we land on something in the Scriptures and we kind of build from there. And so that's what I would like to do this morning. We're told in the book of Hebrews here, and I think all through the Old Testament, the great patriarchs, Moses, David, Abraham himself, they all had a goal during their lifetime of wandering through the desert. And I think it's sort of identified and articulated in the writings of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham was looking forward to the city. All right. In other words, he had his eyes set. He had his heart set on something that was beyond him, something that was very future out there. But it says he was looking forward in his heart for the kingdom of God to be established. And he was looking forward to this city with foundations, the Bible says, whose architect or builder, architect, builder, designer, however you want to look at that, is God. It is not man, but it is God. And we're also told, if you go further into this, we're told in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, if you read in there, that God finally gets the world to its sort of ultimate goal. And when he finally develops the new heavens and the new earth, and when he puts the world into the shape that it ought to be in, guess what it's going to look like and what it's going to be? It's going to be a city. That is what Abraham is looking for. That is what God is going to establish. He's going to establish this city, if you will. It talks about it in Revelation, about the streets of this city. It talks about the center square of this city and Jesus there. It talks about the dimensions of this city. So the obvious conclusion that you and I need to draw here is that God invented the city. It is not the work of men. God invented the city and the whole idea of the city, all right? And all of the inhabitants of the kingdom of God, folks, get ready, are going to be urbanites. Yeah, think about that. All of the inhabitants are urbanites of the kingdom of God. This is what he's intending. This is what he's planning, all right, is that we go to him in this new Jerusalem, this marvelous city, if you will. So we're going to dwell with him, and we're going to be these urbanites, if you will. Now, all of you who are farmers, all right, just hold on to your seat, all right? Don't crucify me yet, Jack, all right? We need your farm, okay? That's period, all right? So let's just put that down there, okay? But there is something about this idea of God creating this cities and of calling us to dwell with him. One writer puts it this way, says this, is the world to come, Scripture teaches, will be an urban world. The redemption drama that began in a garden will end in a city, the new Jerusalem. Heaven's citizens will be urbanites, drawn by bonds of grace from all races, nations, and language groups. New city citizens will live together in perfect harmony as God's redeemed people, his new covenant community. It doesn't sound bad. It actually sounds marvelous. All right, the idea that we dwell with Jesus and that we live with him, all right? So I want to offer you an analogy here that is taken from some of the works and writings of Timothy Keller, some of his materials. And most people who read the Bible know and would agree that God invented the family, right? The whole family dynamic is God's work. It's not a human creation. God invented it because God reveals himself as Father. He tells us that we're children, so all of these words are being used to kind of speak to this, all right? So what we conclude then is that even though sin has taken the family, the family unit, and has turned it into a place of oftentimes abuse and pain, we don't abandon the family as an institution. Just because it's been skewed by sin, we don't get rid of it. All right? We don't crash it. We don't take it out of the equation, all right? Why? Because we are called to redeem and rebuild the family. As Christians, as believers, as followers of God, our call is to redeem. Our call is to rebuild. Our call is to restore. Our call is to resurrect. These are the things that God intends for us to do. See, do you see the pattern there? That is what we are supposed to be doing. So the human family is a pattern, if you will, that is given to us by God. And we believe it was good once, and it will be good again, because it will be literally redeemed. And we know that the future of humanity, as we know it, in some respects, is a family. And we talk these terms in Life Church. We talk about us as a family. We talk about being engaged. We talk about being networked together. We talk about being knitted together. And we refer to ourselves as a family. Well, God is also building a city. He's the city architect. He's the urban planner, if you will. And we are the citizens of that city. Now, I'm not putting a city on the same footings with a family. Please understand that, all right? But I want to try to bring a good analogy here, all right? And so we are human, and we are in cities, we are in these structures we call cities. It's obvious that the development of the city is part of the providence and the design of God and the will of God, and so God is in it. But cities, like families in a fallen world, get skewed. They get messed up, if you will, all right? And sin causes the dynamics in cities to go awry. And so they become places that can have a lot of difficult things, like violence going on. So if sin has twisted the city as it has twisted the family and turned it into a place of pain and of suffering, that doesn't mean we get rid of the city, just like we don't get rid of the family, all right? We don't scoff it off and we don't make it just a picture of troubles. We as Christians, I believe, are called, again, just like we're called to redeem the family, we're called to redeem the city. Just like we're called to rebuild the family, we're called to rebuild the city. Just like we're called to restore the family, we're called to restore the city. Just like we're called to resurrect the family, we're called to resurrect the city. And these are things that God wants us to be about, because that is His business. That is His work. That is His intentionality, His effort, if you will, is to restore and rebuild a community. And He does it through His people. He does it through His church. And that's what I want to convince us of today, is that we start to broaden the vision a bit, okay? And we've had a good vision. We have a great mission. We're called to make disciples in our neighborhood and beyond. Nothing wrong with that. But I would challenge you and I that we begin to see a little bit different. We begin to see a little bit broader than what we have in the past. Here's my hope. One of my dreams, one of my hopes, one of my desires is honestly that we will never lose this place. We will never leave. We would never forsake this neighborhood. We'll always be here. This will always be a part of our DNA. But I want to challenge you and I today that we begin to understand that we are called as a church to be a part of the flourishing of this city and see beyond one neighborhood, see beyond one place or one location. I don't know how that will look as we go forward down the road, but I believe that God wants us to own the city, so to speak. I believe that God wants us to put our hands around the whole of the city. You're saying, Pastor Bill, you put us in a neighborhood. I didn't, by the way. God did. But this is the mind. Yes, this is how we talk. God, Pastor Bill, you put us in a neighborhood that is a high-need, high-maintenance neighborhood, and it's overwhelming. And we've been overwhelmed from the start. Some of you have talked to me in this kind of way, okay? So I'm being quite accurate here, all right? And sometimes our mindset gets to where it's like we are cynical about the work of God because of where we are and how we see and what we see. And I want to challenge you and I today that we have a real shift of the heart here, all right? And we turn our thinking around a little bit, and we begin to see our responsibility to the city. Now, when we were getting ready to move to this building, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, some of you are newer to Life Church and you don't have the history of the dynamics, but there was a time when we were across town in the southern part of the city in a very nice neighborhood, going to church at a school that we were renting that was brand new and lovely, and it seemed like a great plan to me. Let's go there. Let's grow. Let's build. Let's get some money. Let's build a building out in the suburbs. We'll be like the other churches out there. It'll be great. Pastor Bill can make a name for himself. It'll be really good. Stuff like that. Pastor Dave will have the hottest youth group in the whole wide world. It'll be so big that nobody can stand us. You know, we just had lofty ambitions. At that time, Daniel was on staff here. He's going to have the wildest college ministry, and we're just going to turn every campus in America upside down right here from Sioux Falls. You know, we had such lofty ideas. And then we started to grow a bit, and we started to need a place, and a guy came to me and said, I think I have the place for you. And I said, okay, show it to me. And he brought me over here and showed me this building. And I walked out going, nope, that ain't it. Mm-mm, that is not it. Not on my watch. I'm not taking people down there and put them in that building. You need this. He turns to me and he goes, you need this building. I'm telling you, you need to get this building. You need to buy it. I'm not buying that. Number one, I didn't have any money. But if I had money, I wouldn't buy this building. You know. But all these kids are coming to church. And Pastor Dave is the youth pastor at the time. And so I started paying him a salary. And he says, well, okay, so you know you're paying me. So what should I do with my money? I said, go buy a house. He did. He went and bought a house. And so now he's got all these kids coming to his house. And, you know, he's coming to me and going, these kids are wrecking my house. They're tearing it up. We've got to have a place. We cannot do this any longer. And so this guy says, you got to buy it. And I bring David and Daniel down here and a few other people, and everyone's going, yeah. And I'm going, no. Yeah, it's like, no, no. Somebody, some good cynical Christian, just stand with me, you know. Let's just say, no, we can't do this. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to do this. We won't grow down there. We won't increase down there. Oh, ye of little faith. But that was my attitude. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to do that. And everybody else is like, you got to do it. You got to do it. Come on. Let's do it. I said, I'll do it for a youth building. We'll bring youth in down there. So we got the building, and it was a youth building. Only then I get a phone call from someone in the church. Pastor Bill, I need to say something to you. I was praying, and God spoke to me, and he spoke to me about how he changes the hearts of people. And he starts with their heart. He starts right in the center. He starts with their heart, and he changes them from the inside out. Now, maybe God does that with cities. And maybe God would like to change Sioux Falls from the inside out. Maybe he would like to start at the heart of the city. So what do you think about that? I was like, God, why did you put Susan Booth in my church? Actually, I did not say that. I hung up the phone. We didn't have a cell phone at the time. I hung up the phone, and I started to weep. I know I'm kind of a, you know, sensitive sort of a guy, but I mean, like I was crying. Like, not like a little tear or, you know, I was bawling. I fell in the floor, and I was bawling. Because I knew she was right. Doggone it. She was right. Why am I telling you all these things? I'm telling you to get us started on a series here. That's what I'm doing, okay? I'm trying to get us there, okay? Because I want to do several Sundays of talking about how we're going to love this city. And I hope it changes us dramatically. But here's two things now that I know. I know that God called me to a city to pastor. He called me to pastor a city. Now, I'm not so narcissistic or prideful to think that I'm the pastor of this city in some kind of proud sort of way. But he's called me to pastor this city as a pastor in this city. I know that. I know that for sure. I've never thought separately from that. And I'm going to share the story of how the revelation of that came to Barb and I on another one of these Sundays in this series. But I know that I'm called to this city. And I know that if I'm called to this city, the church I pastor is called to this city. So we got a calling, and it is to this city. I know that God put us in this neighborhood. He set me up. Yes, he did. All right? Because it wouldn't have come otherwise. But once he got us here, he opened our eyes and our hearts to the neighborhood. And I believe that God has called us to the heart of the city to change the city. Not just to change a neighborhood, not just to change a person, but to see this city flourish. So what we have to figure out now, Life Church, is how we're going to do that. We're growing. This building is paid for. We don't owe any money for this building. We don't owe any money for the land. We have absolutely no debt whatsoever. None. We don't owe any money to anybody. All right? And this year, it looks like will be one of the most rewarding years financially for Life Church. I'm just sharing this with you to help you to understand that God has positioned us in a place to flourish. God has positioned us in a place to do a good work. So now it behooves us to seek the face of God. So this week, I'm going to send you out an email, and that email is going to give you some prayer points of how to start to pray for our city and for Life Church as we flourish in the city. All right? So I want you to take that very seriously, because we need to understand what it is that God is wanting us to do. All right? So if sin has twisted the city, and it's twisted the family, and it's turned all of this into a place of pain and suffering, That doesn't mean we get rid of anything. We don't get rid of families. We don't get rid of the city. We live in the place of where God has positioned us based on what His heart is, and that is to redeem and to restore. So the question for you and I then is, are you a city builder as God is? Will you be? Will you be a part of building this city? Will you make an impact and make a difference if you can in this city? Some of you have the ability to do that. Some of you have the ability to do that financially. Some of you have the ability to do that spiritually. Some of you have the ability to do that in other ways. Some of you, you don't even know yet how God is going to use you to do that, but there's something rumbling down inside of you, and you know there's something ahead for you. You've got it. You know that it's in there, and it's churning about, and God's ready to do something with that, okay? So do you see the logic here? God invented the city, so we don't abandon it. We build it, all right? So let me go a little step further here this morning with you. The Bible affirms that not everybody is called to be married, all right? So I don't want you and I shrugging at the deterioration of the family and say, well, it's just kind of foolishness now, and it's crazy making, and it's all messed up. Because the family's not going to go away. Heaven forbid that it should. If the family goes away, society goes away. But in the same way, not everybody's called to live in the city. I understand that. I get that. You can't say to all Christians who are living that they need to live in the city. All right? But here's the thing. Every Christian can help cities to flourish, even if they don't live in one. Because that is the intent of God. That is what God would want to do. And here's, let's take it a step further. You have been called to Life Church. You are a part of Life Church, even if you don't live in the boundaries of the city. You are here. You come into the city and you flourish in Life Church. Therefore, you have a responsibility, you and I, because we are a part of this body, of this church, this family. We have a responsibility to see Sioux Falls in such a way as to ask the hard questions. All right, how do we flourish as a church? How do we impact? How do we make a difference? How do we bring restoration into the city? So no matter where you live, you should be seeking to help restore and rebuild this city and other cities as well. I had a wonderful week this past week. Some of you know about it, some of you don't. I flew to England. I ran a marathon. You know I love to do that, you know, and that's what I went for. The purpose was to go and run a marathon. It's going to be a short trip. I'm going to go run the marathon. I'm going to come home. I didn't really factor a lot of God time into that, all right? It wasn't like I'm going to spend a lot of time with God, okay? But I'm going to go do this. And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm gonna find a good place to eat fish and chips, because that's what I like to do. And I'm running a marathon, so I deserve it, okay? So I'm going, which, by the way, I went in the search for going to find the best fish and chips place in the city of London. I stumbled across the National Library. I just wanted you to know that, okay? Found the National Library. Christine's going, yes, hallelujah, books and more books. Awesome place, okay? But on the way, I eat fish and chips, you know, and on the way back to the place I was staying, I'm walking the streets of London. It is now dark at night, and I'm walking down these streets, and I'm looking around, and people are everywhere. People are everywhere. All kinds of people, all types, all shapes and sizes. I mean, it's just everybody. And I'm hearing so many different languages. And I hit Leicester Square and turn a corner, and I'm in Chinatown. And it's all lit up, and it's amazing. And I'm walking down and smelling all the food in Chinatown. And it's just like, wow, this is great. I'm going, this must be what Daniel and Carla live like, something like this. They walk down streets like this, you know. But I'm going different places around London. I take the subway and I go to another part of London, and I'm going, what am I doing? You know, it's dark and I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I could. It was like I felt driven, And as I'm walking along, it was like, this is what it's all about. I'm like, what? It's like, this is what it's all about. And I go, what? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I just ate fish and chips. I am so full of food. And it's dark, and I need to find my way back. I was kind of lost. I need to find my way back to where I'm staying. And now God wants to intervene. You know, it's like, just let me go get, help me. You want to intervene? Find me the way back to my room, okay? Help me get back there, all right? And it's like God is wanting to like sort of chat with me. You know, I'm not hearing voices. I'm not crazy, okay? But there's impressions. There's something going on in my heart, and I can't get away from it. And it's like, okay, what are you saying? What's going on here? And it was like God said, remember San Paulo. And I'm like, how can I forget San Paulo? Thousands of people broken and messed up so bad, living on a street, and the street is called the Heart of God. Yeah, remember? I told you that's where Jesus would be. Right there. And I was like, what are you saying to me? He was saying, it's about the people. It's about the people. You're looking at the architecture. You're looking at the culture. I'm looking at the people. It's about the people. It messed me up. And I walked away from that night in London, England. Something different in my heart. Not really understanding it all, but knowing that I met God in London. I just wanted to go run a marathon. But I met God. And He did something in my heart for my city. And after I thought about São Paulo and walking the streets of São Paulo at night and seeing all these people broken and messed up and needing Jesus, and then coming to London and seeing all of that, God took me back a little bit further and He said, I called you to a city. And so it was like, I am so sorry. And I had to repent. I had to repent. I'm going to talk to you about some stuff in this series from the book of Jeremiah and what the prophet Jeremiah says about how you approach a city and live and dwell in it. I'm going to talk to you next week about a man and a whale and how he saw a city and how it differed from how God saw a city. We're going to get all convicted and messed up about this thing, folks. But here's what I want to leave you with today. And that is that God has called this church to this city for such a time as this. And this is a God who is the builder, the architect, if you will. So whatever plan He has for Sioux Falls, I'm pretty convinced that we are a part of that. But here's what had to happen for me, and that was that I had to, and I'm still having to, repent. Now, you understand what that means, good Christian people. It means you turn. You turn from a way. You turn from a sin. You turn from a mindset. You turn from a stronghold. And here is my sin. I love David. He says, my sin is ever before me. My sin's been before me since I left London. Here's my sin. I have grown quite cynical of my city. Not always enjoying it, not always liking it, certainly not liking parts of it. I've grown away from loving the people of my city to being intolerant of the people of my city. And so what that has done, that has bred in me a measure of despair, if you will, of some sort, and caused me to not care. Not like I should. To not have the compassion or the care or the mercy that would go the extra mile, that would walk on the same side of the street as the broken person, that would stop and try to take care of their wounds. Because my life has gotten busy and I filled it up with stuff and I've wanted things and I lost a sense of perspective. Thought I was just going to go run a marathon. That was the plan. I want to ask you this morning, where are you in the building of this city for God? Is it, where are you on your campus, college students? How do you look at that campus? That can be its own little ecosystem, you know. Someone could just live right there and just function. Don't even have to leave the campus. They provide everything for you. It's amazing. You could be right there. How do you, in that system, view it and look at it? Are you seeing the hand of God at work? How are you seeing yourself in your career in this city and functioning? And are there things that you see where you know in your heart, if God opened your heart, just sliced it open and showed it to you, you would be a person who is critical and judgmental and cynical and maybe even hopeless, maybe doubtful at best. Where are we? Where is Life Church? Because the heart of us is the heart of Life Church collectively. And so I want to challenge you to take a walk in the city. You don't have to go at night like I did. I'd actually prefer you not. How about a walk through our neighborhood before it gets too cold? A walk downtown. See, Pastor Dave and I don't like downtown. I like cities. I like to go to cities. I like to run marathons in cities. I like to eat in their restaurants. I like to experience their culture. And I like to leave because that means no sense of responsibility. It's a sweet little gig. But I live here. This is my city because I'm called here. God brought me here. God brought you here. We're here for purpose. How are you seeing the city? Take a walk. Go downtown and walk around. Are you just looking at the parking meters and going, there's not enough? Are you looking at the stores and going, oh, these are snotty people, greedy people, high-priced stores, high-end merchandise? Why are they even down here? Those of you from South Dakota, why are you mad with all the people who have Iowa license plates because you say they can't drive? And all of you from Iowa who's laughing are talking about the Minnesotans the same way. Some of the sweetest things about this church is its diversity, and we're a bit eclectic. I think we're proving something in Sioux Falls. You don't have to be like everybody else. And that's one of the strong points of a city is its diversity. It can also be one of its weaknesses. But I'm asking you, on your job, in your classrooms, driving the streets of our city, sitting in a restaurant, shopping, buying your groceries, sitting in church, what's your heart? What are you like? Do you love this city? Are you willing to help this city and help God build it and restore it and redeem it in whatever ways He would intend? If not, you need to repent. And so I'm going to ask you, I want to pray for you. But I'm going to ask you to just bow your head, close your eyes, whatever you need to do, sit quietly. But where are you? could we get a renewed vision for the city of Sioux Falls? And could we fall in love with this city? And could we be intentional in whatever ways God has given us, through giftings or resources or whatever, to make a difference in this city? And can we start that with prayer? And the first prayer that you need to pray before you pray for the city is, God, show me my heart. And if you're more concerned about your own self and your own ambitions, and if you're using this city just to get somewhere, and it's just a stepping stone in your life, then you need to repent. We need to love the city that God has called us to. And our heart needs to be to help it flourish so that the gospel can go forth and the lost can be redeemed and Jesus can be glorified. Let me pray for you. Spirit of the living God, I ask you to fall fresh on the hearts of your people. This is our city. And you are not finished with the city. Rather, there's much to be done. And you have blessed us as a church in this city. Now show us how to do it. Show us how we are going to bless the city of Sioux Falls and bring restoration and healing. Help us, forgive us, and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next Sunday, I want to talk to you a lot about blessing the city and how we can do that, both individually and corporately. All right? So we're going to talk about what we can do to be a blessing in this city. And I think God's going to open our hearts to some really wonderful things that we can do. All right? Jack, would you come and share the gospel, please?
The pastor has mentioned several times the word twisted in his message. And it reminded me of a passage in the Old Testament where a man named Jacob, the deceiver, and he's twisted. He needed to get straightened out by God. And he was at a river, and that river is actually called in the Hebrew twisted, the twisted river. And while he's at that river, he was confronted with his past of deceiving his brother and the things that he had done wrong. And now he's about ready to meet his brother, and it's all coming back to him. So he's at a twisted river, this twisted man, and he's twisting or wrestling with an angel of the Lord. And he says to the angel, Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me. So the angel of the Lord says to him, what is your name? It's Jacob, the deceiver. I said, I'm changing your name to Israel. You will be blessed. That's the nature of God. And it's the nature of us to always wrestle and be twisted and wrestle with these things, because they confront us and we don't want to do these things, just like the pastor said. And we don't want to do these things. They move us to a different position that we're not quite used to. But it was a good place for Jacob to be, have his name changed to Israel and to move into a different realm of life. And it was good. And it turned out well. That's how God is. And we can have that wrestling going on in us. It might be us who are believers and realizing this could change our lives a little. Or it could be, though, anyone in this place who have never really accepted Jesus as a Savior. He's wrestling, and he wants to change something in your life. So I'm going to pray, and then we have our prayer team to come forward now. And so, Father, I thank you that you never leave us alone, but by the power of your Spirit, you went after Jacob. You wouldn't let him be continually the deceiver, but you wrestled with him, and he wrestled with you until finally he gave in. Father, I pray that you'd help us that we would surrender our lives to you, to your purposes, to your plans, whether to become the first time to believe in you or whether to be willing to say, yes, Lord, you are the Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you would have us to do. So I pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would work in us to accomplish your will and your purpose. And may we be a people who say, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.